This Brigham Young University, Idaho devotional address by Curriculum Maintenance Manager Selena Robbins was delivered May 26, 2026.
Sister Robbins grew up in Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, and moved to Utah at age 15. She earned a bachelor's degree in mass communications from Brigham Young University, where she met her husband, Cameron, during their first week as freshmen. While raising her family, she completed a master's degree in instructional technology and learning science from Utah State University. After moving to Rexburg, Selena began working in online learning, primarily supporting BYU Pathway Worldwide in several roles, including program designer, grading manager, and academic support manager. She currently works as the curriculum maintenance manager here on campus. Sister Robbins served in the Romania-Bucharest mission and is the mother of five children.
When I was young, I once told my dad after church, "I don't know if what I've been taught is true." I expected him to be disappointed, but instead he smiled and said, "Good. I don't want you to believe because someone told you to. I want you to find out for yourself." That moment taught me something important. Questioning isn't the end of faith. It's often the beginning of a real relationship with God. How do we find truth for ourselves? James 1:5 states, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him." This suggests that spiritual knowledge isn't gained the same way as secular knowledge. Study and research from good sources can help us learn, but ultimately, we must receive revelation from God. This can be difficult because spiritual communication often involves what we cannot physically see or hear. Some of you may not be sure if you've ever had a spiritual experience. We live in a world of voices constantly bombarding us with messages designed to influence our thoughts, actions, and identity. The impressions we experience are no different. As we seek truth, we must learn to recognize that not every impression we receive comes from God. You've probably seen it portrayed visually, like an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. It's a familiar image because it reflects something real. Opposing influences exist, and learning to recognize the difference between them is essential. Discernment is recognizing where impressions come from. The scriptures teach that there must needs be an opposition in all things. That means we can learn to recognize what comes from God by recognizing what does not. Elder Peter M. Johnson taught that the adversary, or Satan, seeks to limit your earthly and heavenly potential by using deception, distraction, and discouragement. Distraction is simply being so busy that we miss any impressions at all. But if we're paying attention, we can learn to recognize the adversary's discouraging thoughts and his deceptions. His critical messages point out your flaws, tell you your efforts aren't enough, or make you feel worthless. Have you ever heard them while looking in the mirror? Or at a photograph of yourself? Have you ever considered that those thoughts might not be entirely your own? As I've reflected on these messages in my own life, I noticed they were especially strong when my children were young. He loved to tell me how insignificant my efforts were, that I was horrible for losing my patience from time to time, for not having the house in perfect order, or that I should be doing something more ambitious with my life. The messages were always the same, that I wasn't doing enough or that I was failing. No matter what your stage of life, the adversary will often look for opportunities to tear you down, especially when you're trying to do what's right. His criticism can become especially powerful in moments of grief, vulnerability, or pain. When I was 20 weeks pregnant with twins, we went to an appointment excited to learn their gender. Instead, we found out that we had lost both babies. I went home overwhelmed with grief and questions. What did I do wrong? How could this happen? Why me? And in that vulnerable moment, another thought came. Your body is the worst. And I chose to believe it. They were dark days, but when I finally found my way out of that place, I remember seeing that message for what it really was, a cruel lie from the adversary used to deepen my pain. Through the quiet, patient, and gentle love of the Savior, I was able to let go of that lie and re-embrace the truth. Deep down, I knew and had always known that my body was a gift from God. I learned through this experience that, and others, that we do not have to accept every message that enters our minds. We are not powerless against false messages. We can actively reject thoughts that pull us away from Christ and replace them with truth. I'd like to invite you to try something simple. Write down truths that uplift yourself somewhere you'll see them often. It might be something like, I am a disciple of Christ. My body is a gift. I can help someone today. God wants to hear from me. As you learn to reject false messages and replace them with truth, your ability to recognize the Spirit will increase. Other discouraging messages often come right after receiving a prompting from God. You might feel impressed to reach out to someone and then immediately think, that would be awkward. I haven't talked to them in forever. They're probably busy. This argument has happened to me so often that it's become a marker, a sign that the prompting was real. The adversary also uses discouragement when we make mistakes, telling us we're too far gone, or that we can't change, or that God couldn't possibly forgive us. That is a lie. As Elder Jeffrey R. Holland tells us, however late you think you are, however many chances you think you have missed, however many mistakes you feel you have made, I testify that you have not traveled beyond the reach of divine love. It is not possible for you to sink lower than the infinite light of Christ's atonement shines. Acting on a prompting may not always make sense, and repentance can feel hard, but God loves you and knows how you can make a difference. Another way the adversary works is through deception, tempting us to indulge our natural desires. Satan's message is to eat, drink, and be merry because there is no sin. Today, that deception can sound like phrases such as, you do you, or live your truth. While these ideas are often meant to be encouraging, they can lead us to believe that truth is flexible, that what is true for one person may not be true for another. But if truth changes depending on the person, then it stops being truth at all. Christ's example was not one of self-indulgence, but of submitting his will to the Father. When we believe we do not need to change, it becomes very convenient for the adversary. We stop growing and we stop repenting. We don't align our will with the Father. We simply live how we want. But in doing so, we shortchange ourselves. We miss the potential God knows we can reach with Christ's help. Keeping the commandments can be hard. It requires sacrifice. But the scriptures teach that Christ's yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's not that life becomes easy. It's just that when we follow Christ's path, we are given strength, peace, and help we wouldn't have otherwise. One of the great challenges of mortality is learning to let go of what we think is best and trust what God knows is best. As we align our will with his, our desires begin to change, and over time, we come to want what he wants. So, how do we recognize God's voice? In 1 Kings, Elijah learns that he speaks not in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire, but in a still, small voice. Usually, this is not an audible voice, but as thoughts that come into our minds. The Book of Mormon describes it this way. It was not a voice of thunder, but a still voice of perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and it did pierce even to the very soul. I remember a time at a youth conference when an exchange student from Germany, who wasn't a member of our church, stood and shared how meaningful her experience had been being around us and living our standards. She didn't know how she could go back home and live the same way. I was probably the only person in that room who could empathize, having grown up in Niagara Falls, where members of our church were very sparse. The Spirit then whispered, "You should talk to her." But I grumpily resisted the prompting because the boy I liked had shown interest in her, and she was honestly the last person I wanted to talk to. After the meeting, the prompting came again, "Go talk to her." I resisted, "No, I don't want to." Then, as she walked past me, I literally felt propelled out of my chair as the Spirit practically yelled, "I said go talk to her." "Fine," I grumbled back in my mind, "I'll go talk to her." We sat down outside and I was able to share some of my past experiences with her. I testified that if she had the courage to find our missionaries, she would discover other members of our church in Germany and find the love and support she was seeking. I never found out what happened to her, but I do know that the Spirit testified of the truth of what I said. I share this experience because learning to recognize and obey the voice of the Lord is a skill. As Joseph Smith taught, we can grow into the principle of revelation as we learn to recognize the Spirit. For me, it started less like a still small voice and more like an exasperated command. But over time, as I've learned to listen, it has become quieter, and I've learned to respond more quickly and willingly. Even if you are not entirely sure if a prompting comes from God, there's something simple you can ask. Is it good? Does it lead to good for yourself or for others? If so, then just go with it. Take a chance on obedience. You may not always see the outcome or understand why, but that's where faith comes in. The Lord gives us a simple pattern. Put your trust in that Spirit which leadeth to do good, yea, to do justly, to walk humbly, to judge righteously, and this is my Spirit. So what are some of the ways the Spirit communicates? Often it is simple and practical. It may warn you, a quiet nudge to double-check something, slow down, or avoid a situation. It may remind you, bringing a name, a thought, or something you had forgotten right when you need it. It may guide you, prompting you to reach out or make a decision you wouldn't have considered on your own. Or it may give you hope, a sense of peace, even when nothing around you has changed. These impressions are usually quiet but consistent. They don't overwhelm, they invite. Finally, one of the main roles of the Spirit is to manifest truth. In Doctrine and Covenants 8:2-3, we read, "Yea, behold, I will tell you in your mind and in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Now behold, this is the Spirit of revelation." So we've already talked about how it comes into our minds as that still small voice, but other times it comes as a feeling in your heart where you just know something is true. Have you ever heard someone say something and you just felt that it was true? It doesn't even have to be religious. I mean truth in general. Maybe you couldn't explain it. Maybe you didn't know why you knew. You just did. Now think about the opposite. Have you ever heard something and immediately felt like, that's not right? Like something was off, even if you couldn't explain it. You don't know how you know. You just know. Sometimes that kind of experience can be one of the most powerful witnesses we receive. As Christ said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. When something is true, it is often accompanied by a feeling of peace. When something is not, it can bring confusion, uncertainty, or a lack of clarity. Occasionally, the Spirit communicates in more dramatic ways, through miracles, dreams, the ministering of angels, or moments when your mouth is filled with words you didn't plan to say. These experiences are also real. Have miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither have angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. One of the best ways to receive answers is through the scriptures. They are the words of the Lord, and as we read them, he can enlighten our minds and answer our questions. Sometimes the language can feel difficult, and it can be tempting to rely only on others to explain it, whether that's a podcast, a speaker, or something online. Those things can be helpful, but they should never replace our own time in the scriptures. If we only rely on others to tell us what God says, we miss the opportunity to hear him directly for ourselves. Through Jesus Christ, we are able to receive revelation for ourselves and come directly to the Father. As we engage with the Word of God personally, the Lord can reveal things that are specific to us, our lives, our questions, and our hearts. I had an experience on my mission with someone we were teaching who struggled to commit to baptism. She felt she needed to read the entire Book of Mormon first, so we spent a full day reading together. At the end, she said, "I know this is a good book." We invited her to pray about baptism, but when she finished, she said she didn't receive an answer. I couldn't understand why. After all that effort, why wouldn't God answer her? Then my companion asked a simple question. If God told you to be baptized, would you? She answered honestly, no. That's when I learned something important about revelation. In Moroni 10:4, we're told to ask with a sincere heart, with real intent. I've come to understand that real intent means a willingness to act on the answer. When God gives us direction, we become accountable for what we do with it. And so sometimes when we aren't ready to act, the answers don't come. I've seen this in my own life. There are times I hesitate to even ask because I'm not ready to accept the answer. But when I choose to trust him and become willing to follow whatever he says, that's when the answers come. Sometimes they match what I hoped for. Sometimes they don't. But I know God answers prayers when we are willing to do his will. For those who haven't received a patriarchal blessing, you might ask yourself, am I ready to set aside what I want and hear what the Lord knows is best for my life? In a world where many voices claim to be from God, it is important to recognize that not all of them are. You may have seen the examples of this, people claiming divine authority and leading others in harmful directions. This is why discernment matters. God is not the author of confusion. He has established order in how revelation is given. While each of us can receive personal revelation for our own lives, God calls prophets to speak for his church as a whole. So how do we discern the difference? Christ taught that we will know them by their fruits. A true prophet will point you to Jesus Christ, not to themselves. They will invite you to repent, grow, and come unto Christ, not rely on them in place of him. And their teachings will align with what God has already revealed, not contradict it. As we've talked about the different kinds of impressions we experience, I hope you've started to recognize moments in your life where these examples have reminded you of something you've felt before. I'd like to try and have a kind of nonverbal testimony meeting. Please think quietly in your mind about whether you could stand and bear witness of any of these experiences. Could you stand and bear witness that you've experienced discouraging, fearful, or deceptive thoughts pulling you away from truth, hope, or what you knew was right? Could you stand and bear witness of moments when your mind was enlightened, or when you felt peace that something was true, or confusion when something wasn't? Could you stand and bear witness that you felt prompted to reach out to someone, or that the right words came when you needed them? Could you stand and bear witness that you've experienced help or protection that you knew did not come from you alone? Thank you for participating. I'd like to invite you to try something this week. Each day, write down one impression you noticed, positive or negative. It might be something small, a prompting, clarity, peace, or a simple thought. The goal isn't to have a big experience every day. It's to learn to recognize and discern the impressions you're already having. Elder David A. Bednar taught that most frequently, revelation comes in small increments over time and not in one dramatic moment. The more we pay attention to those small impressions, the more clearly we begin to recognize what comes from God and what does not. I stand as a witness that God does speak in our time. He speaks to each of us in ways we can learn to recognize because he loves us. As we learn to trust and follow those impressions, we will come to know him. I know that through Jesus Christ, we can overcome false messages, find peace, and come to know what is true. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
For more information about this program, please visit the BYU Idaho website at byui.edu/devotionals.